you okay if I start recording? I need to have Angie Thompson's online with us. Sam hasn't joined us yet.
Sam hasn't joined yet?
We were having a problem with the link and I sent it to him.
We're all just trying to get on our devices.
I'm just trying to find out where it talks about the roads. Is it public ways and property or? Is it roads within the subdivision though?
Well, that's what we're trying to.
That'd be part of Title 11.
The subdivision?
Yeah.
Yeah, subdivision, but where do we find just like our normal roads, like extending the city road? Because that was what come up is we've got it in our subdivision. But like extending just a normal road.
But wouldn't it just be a, so would it just fall back to your development standard in your subdivision ordinance?
Usually, you would think so.
I would think that it would just default back to that because those are just your subdivision regulations in section 11.
We're getting somewhere, Bill.
Yeah, design standards.
Yeah. At the sure icon, this clerk and now on the bottom of the screen, you scroll down to the list of options.
Problem is, once you get so far, they won't let you go back.
Insolence is, you can't lie and.
Just that's what I'm finding here.
I don't plan to lie down in the street.
It's not saying anything about.
Karen?
I'm coming, your work close?
Yep, it's a work meeting.
It's a work.
You forgot the shades though.
He took his mask off, so now you realize it.
Shades to come.
Why do you want to come?
What?
You can come in the Speedo if you want.
That's going right in my minutes. So Sam is on now too.
Sam's on, good.
Is there an agenda? I didn't even bring my notebook or nothing. Or a scrap piece of paper? Both got paper in there.
You got your phone?
Yeah.
I have a really hard time working on my phone.
Yeah, I should have brought a laptop because.
You need a piece of this.
So do I take my iPad?
No, I think I'm all right here.
Because I've got the code book.
I think most of this is, I'm all right, Mayor, I got this too.
I can't even get into it on my iPad because I'm not smart enough to get in there.
I think most of it's 11-16-40, right?
That's street improvements.
Is that what we're going to be focusing on?
Yeah.
Well, 11-16-40.
There should have been something going on in the house, man, so you didn't hear.
Road extensions, I mean, that, we talked about that.
So is that in 11-16-40?
I guess my feeling is it wouldn't hurt to have everyone well versed on the whole process of a subdivision.
They were all trained.
Preliminary plat, clear through the final plat.
Maybe.
What's needed in between. Because I don't think we've really gone through. I mean, it's in the book, it's just a matter of following the proper procedure and. Yes.
Okay, this plat to mountpleasantcity.com under the government tab. It's on there.
I don't stay on long enough to get to.
I was just telling Sam, just looking at what you guys were all looking at.
Oh.
So we are recording, you can welcome everyone now.
Well, welcome everyone here. Should we do a roll call?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Justin?
Here.
Kevin?
Here.
Mike?
Here.
Russell?
Here.
Rondi?
Here.
And Sam? He has to unmute himself to say here. Okay. I did.
I guess the biggest thing is to discuss roads, subdivisions.
Start with new development subdivisions. this all come under the CDRA?
No.
No? City code?
City code.
That's the city code that you just listed, wasn't it? 11-16-40?
Well, that's the road, that's the street part, it's section 11.
Section 11?
Looks like 11-8-4.
Section 11?
11, through the road, 4, yeah.
11-8-4.
Dash 4. Street improvements.
Street improvements. So we can talk about street improvements.
Where are the down ones? We can read off the paper. Nobody else has got the smart one.
Street improvements. Well, just go ahead and read it out loud to us, and we're all on the same page.
Let's fumble through that like crazy. Okay, construction plans and profiles. At least 10 days prior to the commencement of construction, the subdivider shall furnish to a city engineer a complete set of construction plans and profiles of all streets existing and proposed.
City code, nothing comes up on my phone.
Within the subdivision, plans are to be prepared by a licensed professional engineer and shall be accompanied by a final plat. The city engineer shall, within a reasonable time not to exceed 20 days from the receipt of the plans, notify the subdivider of approval or disapproval, and in case of disapproval, the reasons thereof. Such plans and profiles shall include the design of limit of work to be done, the location of benchmark, and the true elevation according to the city Durham? All profiles to be referred to that Durham. Profile shall indicate the finished and existing grades of each side of the street. Separate profiles, clearly distinguished, shall be made on each side of the street. Construction plan shall include the detail of curb and gutter and street crossings, locations and elevations of manhole, catch basin and storm sewers, elevations and locations of fire hydrants, and any other details necessary to simplify construction. Complete data for the field layout and office checking. On curb returns, at least 2 additional control points for all elevations beside those at points of curvatures. Control points shall be staked in the field to ensure drainage of the intersections and the street address of the project. Street grades limit shall be as follows. Major streets grade of minimum grade of 0.5%, maximum grade of 5.0%.
Are they talking about from the center to the edges when they talk about that?
No, they're talking about grade this way.
The slope?
Yeah, if you're going down not to exceed 7% grade.
Oh, if you're on a hill.
Yeah.
Oh. We don't have really much, anything that steep here in town, do we?
Well, 7% is not super steep, but it does talk about minor streets can be 10% maximum grade, which would be a local street.
So major streets is 5% and secondary is 7% or 7% and minor streets is 10%. Mm-hmm.
So what's the classifications of streets? You say minor streets?
We're showing major, secondary, and minor.
Minor, secondary, and minor.
The secondary, is there a definition of them?
Minor or local streets, it does not define them. It just says the width. It has to be 50 feet.
Secondary streets, 50. Major streets, 99 feet.
Minor streets, 50 feet. Secondary streets, also 50 feet?
Yep.
And then the major streets is 99.
Yep.
So that's not necessarily...
Let's just back up one step there on the C, the first one. All streets within the city shall be improved with pavement. It says oiled, gravel, asphalt, or concrete.
See, that's where we brought up...
That's where we get in trouble.
Yeah, gravel.
That doesn't even...
That's probably where we need to do some revising.
Because the way I read that is, according to our ordinance, you could gravel a road and still be...
Right, it says right there, gravel is acceptable.
Yeah.
So there's things there that needs to be updated. It's not a horse and buggy community anymore, whatnot, so... Now, does that pertain to existing streets or new streets? The first part of that talks like if it's a new development.
So yeah, that's the, we're in the subdivision part of the code, which is the section 11. And as far as we knew, there was nothing in any other section relating to roads, because I guess, again, if you're extending a road, you're basically creating a subdivision.
Yeah.
Well...
Subdividing.
Or even not necessarily a subdivision, but just your, some sort of development or, you know, a development standard could fall within anything that takes place in the city. It just happens to be in the, makes sense to put it in the subdivision because that's where most of that takes place, but I think you could fall back on the development standards for any type of road improvement in that community.
Well, we do have areas in town where they're just extending.
Right.
Dealt with that on the north end of town where they're just extending an existing road to accommodate another haul. But in some of those cases, it could keep on extending and come out somewhere. And in that event, then it needs to be a designated road, I would think. It's not just a driveway extension.
Well, and I think that's why it's critical for us to determine what classification of road is where, even roads that aren't built yet, the grid, which roads are going to be our major roads, so when the development comes in, we know what widths and everything else are supposed to be. Do we have a need for a 99-foot road unless we're going to do a four-lane road?
Not if you're curvy guttering it, right?
Well, I just turned around out here, the big trailer, it was sure nice to have one here. You know, there's a lot of discussion on that.
Most of the roads that are in town are 99-foot.
Right, exactly.
We are.
And I think in the old days they needed that.
You can turn the roads unless you want to come.
Horse and a wagon, like that, all that kind of stuff around. And major streets where they're going to be two lane.
Yeah, kind of, we're talking such
ways. Yes, definitely.
Different things like that there, so that's also part of it.
But I...
Well, there's two ways on every street to go, really?
Well, yeah, there's two ways on every street. Two lanes go on in a direction, like Main Street, for example.
Yeah, well, you mean two lanes,
yeah.
Four lanes.
Yeah. Four lanes,
yeah.
That road, I don't know how wide State Street.
It's probably 99.
Yeah.
I was. I don't know if you want to... If you want
Main Street, State Street.
I thought State Street was one broad.
Well, how, we just got
so
started.
Like 130, you can do it.
130, yeah.
What about Main, though? Okay,
that's probably 90.
So State Street is 100... 132 or 130, yeah.
One rod.
This one's not like
it was,
that, though. It's eight rods, State Street, and the other streets are six rods?
State Street is 130.
Yes.
But, yeah.
And I think it's considered, it's an eight-rod road.
But that's from, like, that's not just the pavement, that's from back, I don't know, sidewalk.
Back of curb to back of curb.
So what year was this subdivision up here put in?
16.5 feet.
Eight.
The one on?
1980, 82.
Wonder what kind of a code Norton had for that. There's no curb and gutter, there's no sidewalks, there's no...
Extreme ones aren't 50 feet.
The thing is, the city council can make exceptions, and it says that in the code. So if they come and present it, the city council can make exceptions to anything if they want to. And I think that's what happened at that subdivision.
Stops here.
Okay. If you like Glen Oaks, and we're down on golf, and I take a bag like that and open it up, there's half of it left, the rest is in his pocket.
That's all there is, about a pocket full there.
Do you want a copy of any of this thing? Do you want any of this made, real quick, on copy?
So what is it you want to accomplish tonight, then? What is it for you, Mayor?
So part of what has really come to me and Dave lately is people looking to extend 5th North. They're talking subdivisions between where the existing road got extended to Tibbs, all the way to 900 East. So again...
From 5th North to 900 East.
Well...
Throughout Hills Road.
The 5th North now goes up to Tibbs' house, which would be approximately 3.5 east.
Yeah.
So these developers are talking to us, what would it take to extend that road from there to Mountainville Road, 900 East. So again, when we look through our quick look at the book, it's like it doesn't say nothing in this condition of extending the city road. It talks about the subdivisions, but it doesn't talk nothing about just extending the road, because I mean, we've got into the Tibbs deal before, we've got into like Smokey's house, where Smokey built that one house where he extended the road.
Yeah.
So if there's going to be subdivisions on both sides there, then we need to look at widening that road too.
You'd never be able to widen that road down below.
That's the trouble.
Well, yeah, and that's what I say. Do we need wider than 50-foot roads? Because that gives you two lanes and still a parking spot on each side.
You know, that's where I have a problem, because I went to Ephraim today to look at different subdivisions down there, and the narrowest road, the narrowest new road, was 60 feet. And that included the sidewalk. That was from sidewalk to sidewalk. So that did include the sidewalk.
Yeah, so the road probably would have...
Yeah, the road wasn't 60 feet. I'm talking about right-of-way thing. From sidewalk to sidewalk, and then so if your sidewalk 5 feet plus your gutter, then you're going to have, and then they can put the asphalt right to gutter, and that's going to save us a ton on maintenance in the future. Because the biggest problem is this, that roads slump off the sides, and you got your potholes all along the side.
The edges, yeah.
And every new subdivision, that's basically how they've done. And it's not just there, but that way it takes care of the drainage.
No, it wouldn't in our situation, because we don't have any storm drainage.
Well, like this one down, most of our town is on this slope. So you take that Johansson subdivision, if they had curb on each side, that curb is going to find its way out back out to the road where the drainage actually is.
No.
Why
not? As they turn and go in.
Yeah.
As they turn and go in, because the land, I would say, slopes to the south, would not find its way back out on the road.
Well, that west is flipping level. You might think it's sloping one way or the other, but
we know it slopes west.
Right.
Just naturally, the whole geography of the area.
I would think it would slope towards the river, but I don't know.
Well, and if it doesn't, then that's where the excavators have got to analyze that situation. If they can't get slope, then they've got to think about a drain system out in a field or in the development, within the development itself.
They'd have to keep it within the development.
Well,
yeah, we can't just dump that stormwater.
Fifth West storm drains are draining out in that alfalfa field out to the west. So who's to say where you put it?
And they probably don't mind, but
so legally,
we talk about
you can't drain it onto somebody else's property.
Yeah. There's a tiny part of the development improvements for storm drainage. There's like one paragraph.
Which one are you reading?
I just want the storm drainage on under the improvements. So it's 11.16.030. 11.16.03. Says a stormwater drainage system subject to the approval of the city engineer, which we don't have one, shall be provided, and shall be separate and independent of any sanitary sewer system. The final plans for the drainage system shall be prepared by a licensed engineer. No ditch or canal shall be approved as suitable for the use of storm drainage water without the written permission of the appropriate ditch or canal company or the water user for such use. No ditch or canal shall be used for storm water unless adequately approved to handle such water as might be reasonably expected to flow from outlet ditch water. Some provision runoff water, another water expected to reach such canal or ditch. No ditch, canal, or other waterways shall be permitted within property dedicated or to be dedicated for the public use. The subdivider shall remove such waterways or property be so dedicated for the submission of the final plat. It's pretty vague on what will be required for storm rain.
Well, but there is some, maybe there is some provisions for that though.
Yeah, what I just read.
Right. I mean, it talks about having it engineered somewhere.
Yeah.
It's got to be engineered somewhere. It can go somewhere.
And that would be to review of somebody on the city staff to say, yeah, that's going to work or that's not going to work. And if they are discharging it into a ditch that is owned by the irrigation company, they need to have written permission that that's approved by them. Typically,
right.
What you see is a lot of times the developer will have to either do a detention or retention basin on the development and then release that, either contain it all and not let any out, or release it with a controlled rate so it doesn't, you know, cause problems. So, but they can size those basins and everything to handle whatever, you know, a 24-hour, 10-year storm or whatever. So there's ways to do it.
But it has to be kept on the property. It can't be just sitting down the street.
Yeah. In most situations, I think that... Now, down here for Johannes, for instance, that's what all be... You know, if you ran the gutter down, it would all just be discharging right into the county bar pit. And if the county was okay with that,
you'd have to get the irrigation company permission.
Yeah.
That.
Well, it depends on if it's an irrigation ditch.
I mean, that's
a borrow pit.
But I guess
that's any designated ditch actually along there.
I think there used to be a ditch along there, but I'm not sure.
So it'd be just basically discharging on county property.
Yeah. I think there is one on the north side.
Yeah.
I see up there in Alpine, see they've got a huge, like a holding pond or whatever, and everything drains to that.
You know, the ditch is because of
what? Sam says Main Street's only 70 feet wide.
This one?
Is how wide?
This one here.
Is how wide?
You said Main Street, right, Sam?
Is that from...
That's probably the street itself.
Is that just the road, or is that the whole...
Or sidewalk?
Sidewalk?
From curb and gutter to curb and gutter.
Right, that's not including the sidewalks.
Right.
No, 75 feet?
70.
70 feet?
70.
You probably got 10 feet of sidewalk on each side. Correct me if I'm wrong.
To the back of the sidewalk.
You got at least 5.
The back of the sidewalk.
Because I think that's what we got to figure is to the sidewalk, if we're going to have sidewalks, we got to figure... They're going to have to allow the road width plus the sidewalks.
And in between the sidewalk and the road. You can't have the sidewalk going right down the edge of the curb and gutter, can you?
Yeah, that's the way they're doing most of them nowadays, is a combined gutter and sidewalk.
Really?
There's a short park strip in between there.
So what we're saying is that 50 feet, minor or secondary street, that 50 feet will include the sidewalk, curb and gutter, which knocks it down to 40 feet.
And
a little less than 40 probably because your curb and gutter.
Sidewalk should be 5 foot to be ADA.
So do we need to bump that up to 60 to accommodate
The one I measured today, the sidewalk was 6 feet, but then there was sidewalks that were like 4 feet, 3 feet, you know, so.
Jeannie, I was gonna say, we talked at last meeting on the sidewalk grid. Well, I was thinking instead of having that say about rain day, we ought to say that it, you ought to maybe put in there the change that it means, that it must need 80.
Oh, that's a good idea instead of, so last time you guys talked, Sam pointed out that the sidewalk in your code is not up to code for, to meet ADA requirements.
Because it says 4 foot.
It says 4 foot and it's now 5, but his suggestion is that you put in there to meet ADA requirements, that way you don't, you know, you've already, you don't have to change it every time.
When it changes and we don't realize in our code that it's different than what you changed it to.
Yeah.
But we'll still need, somebody will need to be aware of those, what the ADA requirements are.
But it just saves us a change in the code every time you say ADA changes.
Well, yeah, because if it says meeting ADA standards, you're gonna have to look it up and find out what ADA standards are before you put it in.
Yeah.
Well, we've also provided the HWA standard plans and specifications too, so you don't know if anybody has copies of those or not, but there used to be some copies floating around here.
You just saw them the other day. There's a big orange manual I saw brought over. Would you have one, yes?
It doesn't work up, but we have one.
And that might address a lot of that stuff in there.
So what do we say in our roads? How wide then the road itself?
I'd like to define minor streets. Is that just a driveway to a resident or is that a?
No, that would just be a local street.
A local street? Well, what's the difference between a minor and a secondary?
I think it depends on the traffic.
So a secondary street would be like Second South and Second North?
Yeah.
Is that what you'd consider?
I would say so.
And maybe a minor street would be a road going into a cul-de-sac, perhaps.
Right. Well, all the side streets, I guess.
Yeah.
And the secondary streets would be your main collector type streets.
Our major collectors are pretty much already established. They're the highway, basically. I don't anticipate having any like that within the town limit. At least not any time in the near future.
No, but the road that comes to my mind that could be, and there's not much you can do about it now, but Second North is, you know, Mountainville Highway.
It's plenty wide. It just needs to be built wide.
Yeah. I don't know what our width is there, but I would consider that major.
Well, it's probably 99 feet it's as 90. Far as,
so.
I mean, all of our streets are 99 feet right now.
Yeah.
It may go narrower up on 900 East.
Well, 900 East is terrible.
No, I mean, as it makes the turn, heads towards Mountville, that road may go a little bit smaller as it goes around that turn.
So it's
all the 900 East is right there. All
yes.
That's not even 50 feet.
That's what it means.
But I think we can identify what were the classifications again?
Minor street,
secondary.
Secondary street.
Minor and secondary.
I think the secondary ones are already pretty well established and defined in town. You've got Fifth West, Second North, Second South.
If you were Seventh South, yeah.
Seventh South, probably. There's going up into Pine Creek there.
So that would be Seventh South.
So a secondary street would be how wide?
Well, right now it exists on 99.
Well, if we got it there, let's leave it there. The wider, the better.
Well, we don't have it in the code, though. The code says 50 feet on a secondary street. And I guess,
my suggestion.
Do you know, the street size, I don't think is as big an issue as the parking.
Yeah.
Because if you had a 50-foot road, you can get about anything up and down a 50-foot road. Well, but it's the parking that we're allowing on the roads.
Well, it's the parking and it's the backing in and out of the driveways. It's if you're I guess if you're out doing service work, you find the problems with the streets, because you pull up there and you've got to get your equipment out and basically work from the street. And those 50-foot roads, they're horrible. You're going to get run over, or I just think they're dangerous, I think the minimum street, now if there's certain extensions where the road is only 50 feet or whatever, then maybe it's okay to let them go. But if it was going to become like that Fifth North thing, if it was going to collect to the Mountainville Road, I don't think that should be allowed at 50 feet. Because it's going to have homes on both sides of it.
Well, it'll probably, ultimately, it'll probably have streets going off of it.
Exactly.
So I would say that would be, in my opinion, that would probably be deemed a secondary road, whether it's wide enough down at the bottom or not. I think mainly your asphalt width is kind of what you want to establish, because your side treatments, whether it's a sidewalk right on the back of the curb, or whether you've got a park strip and then your sidewalk, you know, that can all be determined. But I think the critical thing on your classification of road is how wide is your pavement going to be from curb to curb.
Well, curb to curb, if you're 60 feet and you lose, should we say 6 feet with sidewalk and curb?
Or, yeah, or 10, it just...
I'm doing the math here. If you got 5-foot sidewalks and curb and gutters 30 inches, it says in the code here, not less than 2'6" for curb and gutter.
Yeah, well, I think there's...
So you're at 15 feet with sidewalks and curb and gutter that you're taking out of that 50, which is even if a 35-foot road.
I'd be interested. So that must be...
That's a lot of road.
It is.
That's...
But then you got your parking, if they're parking on the street.
Well, not, to me, I think, I don't like on-street parking in subdivisions. I think we ought to, and I know that's established in town already in the 99-foot right-of-ways, but if we're going to squeeze those down, I don't think you allow on-street parking at that
point. Why would we squeeze them down?
From 99?
Yeah.
Because some of the existing roads has been allowed as 50-foot.
We're doing new subdivisions here. I think they need to go as wide as we can and set it now for the new.
Joe Hanson's subdivision we're looking at, I don't see any need for a 99-foot road through.
No.
No?
No, but I would think that...
But the main road going down to it, connecting into it, is going to be 99 feet wide.
Well, yeah, I don't know how wide it is right now.
You see, I would consider...
What does he measure that? 50 feet? 50 foot? He's in the...
If you're going up Fifth North all the way to Shelleyville Road,
yeah,
that ought to be 99 feet wide, too.
That was fence to fence.
The main road.
So it is.
That 50 foot, was that fence to fence?
Yes. But there's already... It's already built. I don't know that you're going to be able to go in there and take property to widen that to 99.
Well, I think there is already... easements, they bring the fences out right along the road. I know when we did our switch yard, we could have moved that switch yard 10 more feet to the east.
And it's hard to just go off fence lines. You have to have the plat to see exactly what it is.
And we went through the whole process, again, the easement through properties and all that stuff for that line. When we didn't need to, all we could have got is just an easement from the county. So.
Gene, there was a traffic study done by a company named TIS or something. I don't know, Italians all mean. They had the street, they had a map of the streets designated as they are right now. And then they also had a suggestion of pavement widths and everything. I don't know if you can find that, but I know it exists because I've referred to it a few times.
Who did you say it was through?
Traffic impact consultants.
Jack, you have put in the one general plan, because I think I've seen like the cover of that that had the designation of the streets. Is that in the previous general plan?
What's the code? Well, I don't know if it is or not, but this is that independent.
You read something about that.
Sam had asked. I guess.
Fourth debt, and that's what he was saying, we need to change it.
I live in Laurel Burg, and I've had master plans and improvement. And in my opinion, and I'm not trying to run work that for anybody, but I think we need to do a transportation master plan in the city. To talk about these very things, like what do we want? What widths do we want? And what counts? Based on traffic counts, it's not just arbitrary this wide, because that's based on something.
And then determine.
Yeah.
Makes sense, because you do that for, in fact, you want a canal.
Right.
Your council of outage projects and all your set sidewalks.
And then you can,
you could actually even bring back a road impact.
Road impact.
Just to cover that study.
For the traffic, what did you call it, kind of a plan?
It was a transportation master plan, but it was done by somebody that DOT hired, and it's free.
And that's why.
Still has some good information, it's older.
Our internet is cutting in and out, so Sam's having a really hard time, so let's move the phone number and I'll have him call in.
It's confusing secondary to me if the streets go through the subdivision. That's a secondary street.
Okay, we'll call Sam.
Danger would be the main thoroughfare going up through the subdivision, the collection street.
I don't like the way that's worded in there, Bull. I refer to as major collectors, minor collectors, and locals.
Yeah, that's just what I was saying to him. So I would say Pitt Gulf going up the major collector, which would be the main street going east and west, would be 90 feet wide or 90, whatever. And the side streets would be like Johansson subdivision at 50 feet.
So one thing we got to watch though that scares me when we start talking of putting a sidewalk on these streets and you got to oil it.
Yeah.
You got to look, we got to start snowplowing all this too. So that's the other thing we got to think about is we're declaring all of this here, because if you deem these subdivisions have, I'm going to say 50 foot pavement, we've got to plow all that then now as a road.
And maintain it. That doesn't
matter what you're doing. Well, if you want to look nice and be a nice city, then you got to pay the price. That's where I am. It takes one extra sweep with the snowplow.
You know,
you got to maintain it too.
I don't know.
I guess we got to decide what kind of city we want.
What plowing needs to be done. So come back and dress it up. But I don't see why you have to plow clear to the curb. Because the water, if the street's built right, the water, as it melts, it's going to go to that gutter and then go down to wherever the drainage system is built.
You don't have to maintain it.
Yes.
Which means you don't have to plow the snow.
And that's going to, well.
There's cars parked on it, you can only go so wide anyway.
Yeah, that's the issue there.
I mean, you can only go so wide anyway.
So we're saying 50 feet for a secondary road, and then that includes the curb gutter and sidewalk.
Right. Well, it says here, it says the 50 feet is from what? What did we just read?
Yeah.
Let's see, street property is line. To be measured from lot line to lot line.
Okay, so that's including of the street. Your curb gutter sidewalk.
Yes.
So that leads to 35 feet of pavement.
Right.
Now, if you park there,
if you figure 8 feet on both sides and 24 feet of paved asphalt, of roadway.
Four feet, we did 24 feet wide.
Yeah.
And I think that's a 10-inch road. Pretty standard.
So the math I'm doing is where we end up with 35 feet of asphalt on a 50-foot secondary street. So, and then if you have parking there, you figure 10 feet on each side for parking. If we're going to allow parking on the curb and gutter, then that leaves it, that knocks it down to 15 feet.
So if you figure a 24-foot road, which is 4th East is, you figured 8 feet parking on both sides, that's at 40 feet. Then if you put the curbs and a sidewalk out, you'd be real close to the 50 feet.
I'm wondering if we should bump that up to 60, because with their 5-foot sidewalks now with this new code. And it says right here, our curb and gutter is 2'6".
And usually, don't they consider the curb and gutter, the cement part, as part of your asphalt, as part of the roadway? I mean, the curb's usually 6 inches, and then from the inside of that, okay, it's usually part of that.
Well, your concrete comes out. You have an apron on right. That curb. I mean,
but from the I think from the front of the curb to the front of the curb is considered roadway. Okay. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So if you had a 5-foot sidewalk and a 5-foot sidewalk and a 6-inch cement, and then you have an apron, the apron would be considered part of the road.
Yeah, it's part of the road, but it's built into the concrete.
Right. Right.
So you're at 50. I see what you're saying, Mayor. You're gonna end up at 25 feet of road, really.
Right.
With what width?
About 50.
Yeah, two cars made 10 feet.
Yeah. Well, he mentioned 8, but
it would give you 12 feet on the main road with an 8-foot parking, and then your side.
I would not encourage, personally, I would not encourage parking on the street, because if you, especially in a neighborhood when kids are playing, you can't. If you're driving a car, a kid comes
flying out of the driveway.
Car, you can't see him.
Right.
And then it's a nightmare to plow. I mean,
I just don't work. Unless you're going to have 99-foot ride, well, road, like we do now, and let people park how they do, I don't think you ought to go away from that, still allow people to park on the road. I just think it's a safety hazard, a safety issue at that point.
Well, even trying to plow snow around cars.
Or that, or an inconvenience.
And the garbage cans have to come out.
Blue stake. If you have to blue stake something, you got cars parked there.
Yeah. Mayor, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
So I agree with Justin in subdivisions. I don't think there should be any curb posts on any of it, on actually any of the road. And I don't know, I'm sorry, most of me kind of just cutting in and out and hear what. The other thing to consider is, I mean, the wider the roads we go, the more money it's going to cost the city to maintain, because those will be turned over to the city. We can't maintain what we got now.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's kind of a consideration we really have to consider, too. I mean, I know wider roads are a lot nicer, but also they are a lot more expensive.
If they're done right in the first place, then the maintenance is going to be less. If they're done with gravel, like the code book is saying and all that, that's the kind of roads that cost you a lot of maintenance.
We're maintaining them every year.
I don't know that it should even be in there.
No, we need to eliminate that. But going back, I think we need to eliminate that language.
Sam's on this phone because the internet was breaking up too bad.
The language says all streets within the city should be improved with pavement, oil, gravel, asphalt, or concrete. I think we need to eliminate oil, gravel, and gravel. And just, your options are asphalt or concrete.
Yeah, who's going to do concrete?
And no one's, we could probably take that out too. So it just, let's simplify it, and it has to be improved with asphalt. And let's not give them the option for oil, gravel, and gravel.
Or we don't allow the product like we used on 4th East, because that would be gravel and then a chip seal.
A pavement.
So that would be oil, gravel, but I mean, you almost have to specifically name that method or product, somebody's going to come and try to say, well, I can do the same thing.
Like a row composite, the Lithotec.
And I know there's other products out there other than that stuff.
I don't know, treated.
So if it's left it as asphalt, you could say something that like equal to or greater than your asphalt. You could even write the spec in the asphalt.
Or approved equal. I think everything would have to be approved by the city.
Right. Approved equal.
Yeah, I like that.
So cross off gravel.
Yeah, that needs to be taken out.
So there was one place in here that talked about a waiver of improvements. It says, upon recommendation of the Planning Commission and approval of the City Council, curb, gutter, sidewalk, and storm drainage requirements may be waived when it is deemed that such improvements are either unnecessary or inappropriate.
Read that again.
I don't know when those situations might come up, but
read that again, what does it say?
So if you were having a big subdivision with an acre lot, and it's only like four lots, that'd be expensive to put in that for just like four lots.
You mean sidewalk and all that?
If we're trying to encourage, maybe we want more of a RA horse property type subdivision or something, as opposed to higher density.
It's 11.16.080, waiver of improvements.
I think you want that sort of flexibility.
Upon recommendation of the planning commission and approval of the city council, curb gutter sidewalk and storm range requirements may be waived.
Okay, so it's referring to sidewalks. Does that mean that there's a code somewhere that says to have sidewalks?
Yeah, I think that it's...
Because this one here doesn't say sidewalks.
I think it's continuing on, it doesn't... Yeah, if you look further down, I think it does. It talks, that's where it tells us 4 feet.
2.6, like Ron said.
Sidewalks. At a minimum, the subdivision shall install at least a 4-foot sidewalk. And that's what we're seeing, it's gotta be changed to.
Okay, so that needs to be, sidewalks need to be changed to 5 foot? Is that what we're saying?
Just ADA
compliant.
Or compliant, yeah.
ADA compliance?
Yeah.
Well, that, and that way if it changes, then...
Then we don't have to change our code.
Right, and right now they're 5 feet though.
Yeah.
So we could replace that language with ADA compliant.
Uh-huh.
On the sidewalks, and then the road improvement language. Asphalt or equal to or greater than?
And approved by?
The city council.
So what are you going to say on the streets then, 50 feet?
Well, my vote would be 60, but that's just me.
If you went 60, you would have the option to allow them to park on the side of the road, but I think we've decided that that's something we don't want to do.
Well, when you say park on the road, are you talking about somebody pulls up to visit you?
Yeah, they just pulls up to the
curb and gutter.
They can't
park. Up your sidewalk in front of your house, jumps out. Yeah. You know, you have company over.
Right.
And they're going to pull up in front of your house.
They're going to park
on the sidewalk.
House, right. Right.
So, it'd be really hard to enforce no parking.
It'd be hard to... It'd be hard to do that.
So if you went 60, you're giving us room to park.
But then again, the cost of affording to
yeah,
maintain.
But they give you a lot to plow, and you're plowing around. But
then you're still going to have people. Whether there's somebody coming to visit you or not, there are going to be people that live there that are going to park there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're probably going to park something
right
there that's going to be permanent.
Right now, we're dealing with 99 feet, and that's why we've got that problem. You shrink that down 30 feet, 39 feet to a 60 foot, now you're not going to have people putting permanent structures out there in the street and whatnot. It's going to be reserved for people who are visiting or delivering the mail or whatever. I think narrowing them down to 60 feet or whatever is going to eliminate a lot of the problem that we have here in our community.
You put your RV on the city right away.
Right. Because they're not going to be room.
Right.
They're still low.
They'll still park in
it. It's true.
If there's enough to park there, they'll park.
The only way you're going to rectify that is what we talked about putting together where they have to get their stuff off city property.
And then again, our code allows you to use 72 hours to park on the city right away. As long as it's moved within the 72 hours. Because again, if you set somebody come visit you for the weekend,
yeah, you're probably not going to have enough parking spots.
Yeah.
No, not your driveway.
These little communities that they're building have designated parking down the intersection, or they've got a vacant lot or somewhere, because you're not allowed to park out in the street.
And they're enforcing that down there. I like the idea of enforcing it, but man, to not allow parking on, but it's, you know, that stuff.
I don't know, murder.
That's tough.
I don't think you ever get away with that.
No. Be never any nightmare.
People, like you say, gonna pull up to visit, or they come for the weekend. There's no room for all of them to park in the driveway, they're gonna park out on the street.
And then they get a citation in their windshield.
Yeah.
That's not gonna go over real good.
But if you have this road and that wide and it's already all asphalt, how are we gonna afford to be able to maintain it?
Yeah. Because that is huge.
Well, okay. So what makes us different than every other community in the state? I mean, what have they got over on us that they can
afford
the streets?
If you go to most city streets up in Orem and Provo area, I'll bet you they're 50 feet. Because most of them are one lane and you can park on the side and then you have your curb and your sidewalk.
I've been measuring streets for the last couple of years because this topic I know is going to come up. And the last one that I measured up north was 66 feet. And they had the sidewalk, and then they had grass, and then they had the gutter, and then the street.
So you measured just street to street?
From just like our code says, from sidewalk to sidewalk, is the 60 feet or whatever.
So they're leaving
the road was 36 feet, the road was 36 feet, and then they, whatever that subtracted by, that must have been, let's see, 66, so there would have been 15 feet on each side of sidewalk and curb.
So we had a chunk of grass.
And then some landscaping, yeah.
But most of the new subdivisions do not have that chunk of grass. Mm-hmm. They have the curb and the sidewalk.
That just makes lots of bigger lots.
Well, I'm trying to think of where.
How much room do you need chain for utilities? Like if you put them out in the street, like we're talking.
At least for the transformer and stuff, we need at least, you got the transformer itself 5 feet, eight feet. You gotta have 3 feet in front of that transformer.
So,
but you can put them right next to the sidewalk.
Typically, in a new subdivision, we would require a public utility easement behind the sidewalk.
But you can put them right next to the sidewalk and then use that sidewalk as your access point to get into the...
So you're basically using the utilities as on the property owner's property. Yes. And giving these in Spanish Fork standards. Mm-hmm. This is a sub-local street, 52 feet by the way. They got 27 foot asphalt, 2.5 feet.
Well, even though it's their property, you have a utility right away. Yes.
Okay, so there's...
That's the way it is up in that subdivision. There's a 10-foot utility right away.
You own it, but they have it right away.
Yeah, inside your property line, there's a 10-foot easement of utility.
And your 3 feet is sidewalk.
Well, your 3 feet, you have to have, by the way, 3 feet in front of that transformer for us. Open that transformer and work.
What is that?
Just work on local street.
Kid to sidewalk?
Yeah.
Be designated part of that working area.
Or a secondary.
Yeah, they've got designated. So this is a residential, let's see. This is their residential local street, 60 foot right away.
Do they have grass between the curb and the sidewalk?
No asphalt.
I haven't seen too many subdivisions that don't have grass between the curb and the sidewalk.
Park strip and 5 foot sidewalk.
You go up north.
See, the worst thing with that is water. Worst thing with that is blocking the sidewalk.
Well, I know,
because you don't see water in that grass.
Well, I'm just thinking about the places that I've been, like Deer Meadows up in Spanish Park, a brand new subdivision. There's three or four of them. They've all got grass between the curb and the sidewalk.
The sidewalk is cleared in front of their house.
Every single one.
And I wonder if that grass that's there for the purpose of that utility right away.
A lot of those places pull like that, they put their water meter there due to the fact that they put the sidewalk up in order to fix something, and it's ripping up grass, and it's less maintenance cost.
That's what I say, that it, when I noticed all over, and that's a good point, really is, because that's probably what they're using it for, is your utility shoulder. I know when you dig up there, when I was up there working and doing for a plumbing company, everything was okay between the sidewalk and the curb and the grass, whether it was the gas line, the power line, the water line.
What is this?
It's about all was in there.
This is a resident.
I hit 2-inch main that they'd mismarked was behind the sidewalk. I reached downward.
And I would say that would, in my opinion, Fifth North would probably qualify as a local collector.
Right.
I mean, I think for so many years we've let, like, money has really dictated what this town's got. And I realized that we only have so much money per budget. But
I think if it's done right, then it's easier to maintain too.
Yeah.
So I.
In the long run, it's.
You know, every one of these street designations here in Spanish Fork, they're showing the pavement from curb to curb, right?
Yep.
And they've got different widths.
Yeah, for the application, I mean, depending on where the road is.
Uh-huh.
But their narrowest road is a 52-foot. And that's the
same. And that's probably old Spanish Fork.
No,
that's probably new.
That's probably in their new subdivisions, a sub.
So that'd be.
Calling that out.
So basically goes into 10, 12 houses or something like that there.
They were calling that a sub-local street.
Or a minor. See, because we're calling it minor or local street.
But you got to consider Spanish Fork has such a big grid.
And how wide are they? Average, would you say?
52 feet is the right of way, so they've got 27 feet of travel lane.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2.5 foot curb and gutter,
mm-hmm.
30 inches. So is the asphalt just 27 feet?
Mm-hmm. Really?
They've got a local. A residential local street that is a 60-foot right-of-way that's 29 feet, the asphalt.
So there's no way you can put a curb and a 5-foot sidewalk?
They've got an 8-foot park strip, too, in between the curb and gutter and the sidewalk, though. And you can do it how you can put your sidewalk right against your curb and then have, you know, 8 foot on each side for utility or something if you wanted to do it that way. But usually if you have a site treatment, then you have written in the ordinance that the landowner maintains all that, and they have to have it improved with whatever we want it improved. They don't, the city wouldn't want to take on that responsibility. It would have to.
I think must already be in the ordinance, is because I have to put my sidewalk and everything.
Well, probably in the DOT.
Maybe, yeah, because I'm on State Street.
Because I think DOT only owns from curb back to curb to back.
Really?
What do they call it? Park strip?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Was the park strip be the best part of the
again, it's there before your property line.
I know, I had to put in my own sidewalk.
Well,
because
they
just,
and I think that was
3 feet at least in front
of the sidewalk. That
made me put in my own sidewalk.
They do just on curb to curb.
Yeah.
So usually they put the transformers.
See, that was thinking they was responsible for all those trees.
You could probably have an easement and sweep it up in.
And have your sidewalk over it?
Yeah.
Well, or wouldn't it be better just to have your easement behind the sidewalk?
I'd say behind the sidewalk. That way it's not right next to the road.
But something about it, you're talking about extra cost.
There you can actually work.
You're talking about an extra 1,000 citizens?
For what?
We're talking about extra cost to maintain these roads and stuff, but you're talking about extra citizens paying taxes and property tax and everything else that we're going to collect there too. to kind of maybe offset the cost of them streets. And
my hope with some of these subdivisions is they'll go with an HOA.
You hope they'll what?
Some of them will go to homeowners association, an HOA, to where they'll help enforce some of this rather than the city having to enforce.
Yeah, they'll have their own set of codes, covenants, and restrictions.
In that subdivision. Mm-hmm. Pertains just to that subdivision.
Right. But if they don't, we got to have our ducks in a row.
Right.
Yep. And we know we got to change the language on improvement.
Sub-local street.
And the language on the sidewalks.
We're going to improve this improvement.
Yeah, I don't like the language of gravel.
Local street.
No.
That's got to be took out.
And oil gravel, I think it has to be paved or anything equal to or greater. Or otherwise approved by the city council.
Workspace clearance, you've got to have a 10-foot, more than three foot in all directions.
From where that opens?
Yeah. 10 foot in all directions. That's what you're supposed to do, but.
So is this, the sidewalk classified as part of that?
What's that?
So if you had the, if you had the curb and then the sidewalk and then you had your trans, that 5 foot sidewalk would work as part of the clearance.
Yeah. So that's what our specs say in 2017 that we adopted. That's why they kind of, so that they bring them in the grass right away.
Show, and they show those two too.
And how wide was that?
We really need to get that T3 like we talked about.
The and that's what we're implementing into our specs on that.
Okay, so then what was the next bigger street?
So do you got to set that transformer 5 feet back from the sidewalk so we're not digging up the road?
No, you can set it right
on that side of the sidewalk in the customer's property.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I was just look at Mapleton City. You can work out all the
time. You're not necessarily going to dig it up. You just need to have that area for working.
Yes, yeah.
So you lift the lid for the person to work on it.
Yeah. I guess for arc protection.
Okay.
And we had increased in clearance because of the, it depends on your voltage. Your primary voltage that you have. So ours is 7,200 volts. You got to have so much clearance in front of that.
Thoughts on water meters, Coulter?
It's harder to fix them when they're in this sort of asshole. Yeah, to dig one up. It starts getting spinning when you're patching asphalt all the time.
I just put them right inside the property line.
That's where we generally put them right now.
Yeah.
Just on the city side of the property line.
Yep.
Well, but if you require a PU on all plats, you can put them, you can still put them on behind the sidewalk. You know.
So that's the way my father-in-law's along their streets in Peabody, all their meters are like, you got the road, you got the sidewalk, and you got the water meters all just right inside the property line.
So it's in that 10-foot utility, basically what we're talking about.
Yep.
So they're on the property owner's side of the sidewalk.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing I hate is that grass section between the curb and the sidewalk, because I don't know, it just drives me crazy when you go and see all the water and it's wasted.
Yeah.
Well, and then trying to maintain it.
Yeah. Are they going to maintain it, or is it just going to get beat
the
down?
Residential people maintain that.
They should, but how do you, we have a hard enough time enforcing stuff like that now.
That's why I like, you just go to the curb, and there's a sidewalk, and then...
And then they're locked.
Yeah.
But then what do you do with, so, in that light, you don't really need right of way, you just need to establish your pavement widths, really.
Yeah.
Is it in city code that that little strip has to be taken care of by the owner?
I don't know, that's what we have.
I question that because I grew up on Center Street in Orem and we have one of those and it was not the homeowner that kept it up, it was the city.
Really?
So.
That was all.
Something we ought to look into, and it's kind of not happened yet, but any subdivision, when they start building it with the sidewalks, we need to make it added in there that the residents that live in front of that sidewalk are always declared that it's snow and anything else so that it's not put back on the city.
I agree.
Say that again.
So if the sidewalk's put in, it's the residents' responsibility to clean the snow off that sidewalk, not the city.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, I'm kidding.
So you and I just talked.
I think that was responsibility, I didn't want the city to put them back quicker than that. First time they looked wild down that.
Call Sam?
They took up three.
Change the recording.
I started that one spring, it was good.
Cause that goes behind.
They cut to there.
So what was the residential?
Took that issue, I'll take care of my sidewalk.
At least a six-foot clearance between fire hydrants and metallic pneumatic equipment. We have some people in this, like especially at Skyline, they put the hydrant front next to the transformer and then it doesn't work. So.
Residential local street, that's what.
It is very good.
Well, I think.
So let's establish the width of the street.
Yeah, we need to revisit the width.
Let's establish the width of the street, then we go.
Yeah. We already know we got to change the language on the improvement.
Hold on.
We got to change the language on the sidewalks, but we need to decide on width.
And then the curb was from that feet, right?
Yeah. I can hear you now, you're back.
We just going.
I want to break down this width here, the way I've got it figured. So you got a 50-foot road.
Park strip and go.
You take out 10 feet for sidewalks, that brings.
Curb and gutter and sidewalk.
Yeah, and well, the curb gutters, the gutter's considered road. So you got a 50-foot road, 10 foot of that's designated sidewalk, that leaves you 40 feet, right?
Yep.
Then you, people are going to park there, you're giving them 8 feet for parking.
That's what we've got now.
That knocks it down to.
Oh, so but they got that park.
16 off the 24-foot road width, which is what we've got all over.
And you're not looking at what your utility and people's yards.
Yeah.
So you're saying go with a 50-foot?
Public utility easement.
And is eight feet enough for parking? That's my question, because that's kind of tight.
That's about what you have in a parking stall in a.
And you have 9 feet in a parking lot.
There's a standard of 65 width of a parking stall.
So they're just going to have to get right up on that curb.
Overall.
Which is what I would do if I was parking.
See what I'm saying?
Then you got a 20-foot.
Yeah.
People park on each side at 50 feet. And your right of way is behind the sidewalk for utilities. So I guess the question is, do we need more room?
What do you have, Robbie? Sorry.
So the way I'm doing the math, we got a 50-foot wide road. You take 10 feet off that for sidewalks. That knocks it down to 40. Your curb and gutter, or your gutter's considered road width. So.
Well, part of it, because.
It's 2.5 feet. So you subtract 5 feet for that, 5 feet for gutter, right?
Well, we're considering gutter being part of the road width.
Okay.
So that leaves you 40 feet.
Except for where it starts to come up to the gutter.
Yeah, so you're losing 6 inch on that curb.
On the curb usually.
So you're losing a foot there. So you, that knocks it down to 39 feet, and then you lose 16 feet for parking on each side. So that leaves you 23 feet.
23 feet.
So are you still considering parking on each side?
Yeah, if you're on 8 feet of parking on each side of the road, sidewalk, curb gutter, parking, that leaves you a 23-foot travel way.
So that's why you're saying we want to establish a 50-foot road.
Well, do we need more room than that, is what I'm asking. Do we need more than 23 feet? Because if we do, we could bump it up 52, 55. And are we going to be able to enforce people not parking? I don't like the idea of people parking on the side of the road, but are we really, realistically going to be able to enforce that?
No, because if you get somebody to come visit you, they're going to park there for a second or two.
So do we need more than 23 feet?
I can't think of a city we haven't ever been in where people don't park on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we need a little bit more room than 23 feet.
Some HOAs will not let you park on the road.
Yeah, there's a lot of the HOAs.
HOAs maybe so, but right. City streets. Right.
City streets, it's pretty
hard. HOAs that have a designated parking lot every so often.
Yeah.
And if it's an HOA, that's their own set of...
That's their own set of rules. What we need to do, instead of you going in circles here, let's decide how wide we're going.
I would recommend at least 52 feet minimum.
Okay, Kevin, what's your recommendation?
Well, I was just looking at our designation as it says minor or local streets. Well, I would like to change the wording to residential local streets.
Okay.
Residential local streets. And you've got to figure here, we're not talking just the street width, we're talking about the right of way. Okay? So if you've got a 52-foot road, that's going to include the right-of-way. I mean, that's going to include sidewalk to sidewalk. Now, do you want some space on that back side of the sidewalk for utility?
So he's already got a utility right-of-way there.
That would be an easement, or utility easement.
Yeah, a utility easement.
So even though they own the property, there's a utility easement there.
So you probably ought to have at least 8 feet on each side for a utility easement.
Okay. I would say 10 feet.
Okay, go 10 feet. So now you're out to the...
But that utility easement doesn't have to be part of the right.
They can own that property, but there's just an easement on it.
That way the city will have to maintain.
Just a second, Sam, we didn't hear you. What did you say?
I says I think personally they need to be separated from subdivision versus a regular Joe Blow built that road going up through at the house end, kind of like Tim's. I do believe that they really need to be separated in distances. Because we're dealing with two different things.
But the problem there is Tibbs's road eventually evolves into a subdivision.
Yeah, that's the thing we're seeing is we've got a lot of developers looking at Fifth North especially and wanting to extend it clear to 900 East. So how do we address it as a...
So in that sense, in my opinion, that becomes a regular city road, not a subdivision road.
Right.
And then it should fall under a, like Kevin said, more of a residential type road. Or a collector road, whatever you want to call it, as a main road, versus actual ordinances falling under subdivisions. If somebody can build a subdivision, say, in Johansson's, I think those standards and that need to be a little bit different than the regular city streets, because subdivision, your sidewalk, you're going to want from recommended curb and gutter. A city road, like what we're looking around the Fourth East, where kids are walking on it, you're going to want it further back off of the road. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. But the worst thing is where we got a 99-foot road, we can move the sidewalk back off the road. Where you've got a 50-foot road, it's pretty hard to move that sidewalk off the road.
So I guess what my question is are we talking about main roads or are we talking about subdivisions?
We're talking about residential local streets.
And secondary.
So the regular roads.
Basically a subdivision.
Right?
Yeah.
We've already got our streets established in town, which are 99 feet. So we're talking about new development. We ought to have a standard for new development. We don't expect them to do 99 feet, right?
No.
We've concluded that. So we're basically hung up on this road width for residential and I think we need at least a 60-foot, that penciled out 65 feet if we do it a 30-foot road and you got 5 feet of curb and then 10 feet of sidewalk and then 10 feet of easement on each side. That figures out 65 feet.
But you'll have to have the easement as part of that, though.
No, you don't want the easement as part of that.
You can just have
45 feet then.
Well, I think we ought to have, I think we ought to have a minimum of sidewalk to sidewalk 60 feet. That's my.
But then what do we do with what, all that stuff in between? The sidewalks.
The sidewalk.
Because then you've got, so you're saying still build the road width and the curb and gutter and the sidewalk, but then have a whole bunch of space behind the, behind.
That just gives you parking on the sides of the road.
Yeah.
Extra parking on the sides of your.
40-foot wide road.
So your road, your actual pavement would be 40 feet though, right?
Yeah.
Or more than that.
It'd be 40 feet the way I look at it.
You take curb to curb. You'd be taking 5 feet off both sides. Takes you down to 50. You take a foot of cement off of the curb. You're 49 feet minus your 4 feet. You'd be paving 45 feet of asphalt.
And then.
It's a lot of asphalt.
Should we round it out up here?
Let's say we give them 10 foot for parking. That gives us 25 foot travelway.
Either way, the.
If you give Mayfield parking, it gets the 27 foot travelway, right?
Yeah, either way, the asphalt's still 40 feet wide.
Yeah. They're gonna be parking there on that asphalt, I'm afraid.
They will. But again, it's the snow plow and the maintaining and.
Well, all the plows can do is what they can do. If there's a car on the side of the street and they gotta go around and pile it up against their door.
They're just gonna shovel it out.
In New York, they do.
So they.
You got to shovel yourself out.
Yeah.
What was the law city that just during the winter you can't park on the road?
It's Spanish Fork, no.
They're gonna take 10 feet.
Well, it's like, say they're going though, there's people gonna come down for the weekend and it's gonna snow.
Just some communities like it. I mean, a lot of it's.
This is all this hypothetical stuff, you know? We just gotta set standards for a subdivision.
Future expansion of the road.
And whatever happens in between there, we can't stop all that stuff. We can't stop all that stuff if it happened in between. How people are gonna park and everything else.
There's certain, probably certain areas, you know.
I think what we need to do is just focus on setting the standards.
Snow removal for sidewalks. It is unlawful for the owner, occupant, lessor, or agent of any property abutting on any paved sidewalk to fail to remove or cause to remove from such place sidewalk all hail, snow, or sleet on their own within a reasonable time after sales. This is our ordinance, of course.
That's our ordinance?
I think it's coming out. I mean, it says it in here.
And what's it saying?
That it's unlawful for people not to remove the snow if their property abuts a sidewalk. So basically puts it back on them. I was just looking for off street. So with the discussions that we're having, we're gonna have to look at our, because right now, we don't require or don't allow parking on the street according to our ordinance. Am I right?
We allow 72 hours, so the car has to move within the 72 hours, but we allow it. The car cannot be parked there for longer than 72 hours.
Right, but how are you gonna, I mean, if we're encouraging parking on the street, we can't have an ordinance that says you can only park there for 72 hours if we're allowing parking.
And I guess again, you just have to clarify that on your road width. So you could have a two-sided type ordinance that if the road is 99 foot.
Well, yeah, you could.
It's allowed to park here. If your road is 50 foot, then the ordinance is this.
And you can also clarify what you consider parking on the street.
Yeah.
72 hours is what you classify as parking on the street. If you're there 72 hours or more, then you're actually leaving your vehicle there. It's considered abandoned, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
So you can clarify that you can only be here for 72 hours of the parking time limit.
So again, in our ordinance, we could classify the difference of the 99 foot road parking issue versus a 50 foot road park.
But it's allowed in certain situations.
I don't even think you have to do that. You just put the no parking on the streets allowed instead of making all these barriers over to the cliff or anything else.
Well, then we just have the ordinance that says we can't do it.
No parking on public streets. They're going to do it anyway.
If we have a road width of 24 feet and then 10 feet on each side of it, is that where our water and sewer and power would go, is in that 10 feet on the street?
No, it's going 10 feet under the property owners.
No, I'm asking if we do get a 59-foot road, that would be 24 feet of road and then 10 feet on each side for parking, like Rondi mentioned. That gives you 44 feet plus 15 feet for curb and sidewalk. That equals out 59 feet. What I'm asking is, would our utility be from the from the curb out in the street, that 10 feet basically of parking that we use for resident parking or whatever? That's what I'm asking.
It depends. Cause like out in the industrial park, we got power goes right down the middle of the road.
Yeah. Well, your sewer would be in the road, most likely.
Your sewer and probably your water.
Well, your water. Water would probably, with your gas, all your communications, power.
Just be on the side of it.
On the side of the road. Between this curb and sidewalk and the your road. It'd be in your road.
No, it'd be on the property's owner's side of the sidewalk.
I think it's just somewhere in the evening. You could sweep a little.
I don't think they go in and dig on people's properties.
I don't want them coming in there digging my property.
Well, I think all this stuff would be installed before.
Yeah, but you still have to go back and dig up.
But yeah, to maintain it, you have that easement there. Yeah,
that's
but you're
why
right.
All the manholes in the road.
Yeah.
You got your. So if you put the sewer down the middle, you're going to have your sewer manholes in the middle of the road, right? Mm-hmm. Well, and then you've got your gas. They're not going to cut through everybody's driveway. They're going to be out in the street, aren't they?
Well, I know from doing it in the city when I done it for a living up there, mm-hmm. everything was dug up to the property line, and that's where everything was, whether it's your gas meter, your water meter, yeah. whatever, was on the city side of the property line, right. So you didn't have to dig up people's property.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you got a sidewalk, and you got your curb, and then you would have your utility
there. So there'd
there
be 10 feet outside there where yeah. everything would run. Yeah. And they run the sewer and the water and the gas all right on top of each other. But of course, now your power has to be what? How many feet above any water line?
Well, it has to be, the power has to be 4 feet deep, so it's totally a separate trench, usually.
Yeah.
Because your water's
usually 4 feet deep, yeah.
But they could both be in that 10-foot space.
Yes, yeah.
They could all be in that 10-foot space.
Under the pavement, is that what you're
yeah.
saying?
Yeah.
Where under the parking.
We dig down two, and then you get a guy in there with a shovel, and he works in underneath all that stuff. And if you're going down to the sewer line, which is the bottom line, then you have to work your way down past all that. But usually it's offset.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about it.
Because you got your, because yeah, you usually do the phone and all that's usually only 2 feet deep.
Yeah. So what we need to decide is how wide do we want to make our ordinance on the street? And not worry about all this other.
Well, that's my suggestion.
Yeah. So you're talking 59 feet? Mm-hmm. So you're 60 feet to round it off.
That's a compromise. Well, I'm allowing the 24 feet, so they're going to grade 24 feet, and then you're going to have your other 10 feet on each side for a person to park their automobile or whatever. And
so we're talking 60 feet from sidewalk to sidewalk.
Yep.
That's the inside sidewalk, property side.
Yeah, property sidewalk, 60 feet.
Over
there. You're smiling. I don't like the idea of having the utility on the residence.
Well, no, either. Let's make a wide enough to go out in the street.
Well, let's come down there. Because what they used to do is they come right down the easement and then they stub it off. I can tell you it's a lot cheaper and a lot.
And then they put all the meters and stuff right there.
It takes the roads to dig on somebody's property landscape and fix it rather than digging in the pavement every time you need to dig something up.
I think the gas company now, they run it on the outside of the, don't they run it now on new deals? They run it on both sides of the road and they run it in, out of the road.
On most, on all the development that I've been involved in is there's always a 10-foot public utility easement behind the sidewalk. It's required on the plats. And that's where they put the utility, with the exception of the sewer.
Well, I have never seen that, but.
Well, that's that 10 feet and then make it 80 feet.
I've never seen that. All the digging I've done, I've never seen.
Really?
Utilities run on the inside on the property line. Because, like, people do their landscaping and flip, they'll have rose bushes and everything right out there on the sidewalk. And you're going to go in and dig all that up and rip it up to put in your utilities?
I challenge you to talk to most of the communities along Wasatch Front and ask them if they require a public utility drainage easement on the plat.
Well, I know that there's some guys making, like I-Corps makes a real good living at cutting pavements where they can dig it up and put it back in.
Yeah.
I know everything I ever done up there was in the street.
Okay, so on this new subdivision down there, all of that utility is going to be run on the outside of the sidewalk.
Well, it's not going to be. I guess it depends on what we want to do. I'm not saying that's how it has to be. That's just the way up.
Well, pull up Spanish Fork. They've been around the block a time or two. Where do they put their utility? They've got that park strip. Is that for utility?
Probably some, in some instances.
So the park strip fits asphalt.
Well, I think myself, personally, we'll save ourselves a lot of headaches by putting it out in the street.
Park strip.
Staying off people's property.
Yeah.
Well, when you go in and develop a subdivision, all that infrastructure gets put in the road, and then you stub out your service lines to the lots.
To the property line. And they're responsible up to the city property line of taking care of it after that.
So their service line, it's just really going to be their service line from the sidewalk to their house. Right?
Yeah, they're responsible from the meter in.
So unless there's something major that happens with the main lines, you shouldn't be cutting in the road at all. Because all these utilities will be stubbed to these lots before they even build.
On a subdivision, yes. On extension of a normal city road, then we've got other issues where they're not all going to be cut in.
I think we need to go at it and figure we're going to leave room in the street for the utilities.
Well, I would agree with that, other than if they're doing things different nowadays, I guess we need to entertain that.
So here's some definitions. Collector Street. A street which carries traffic from minor streets to the major street system, including the principal entrance streets of residence, development, and primary circulating streets within such development. So they do have definitions of our certain streets. Minor street, major street. But we don't refer to them as that in the development standards. We refer to them as something else, which is a conflict. I'm not trying to get bogged down, but I'm just saying we can focus in on what street widths we want, but this whole subdivision ordinance needs to be looked at.
Because it's not using terms that are.
If we want to have right-of-way, if we don't have right-of-ways, if we don't have park strips, if we want to have utility easements on showing on preliminary plat, I'm just saying.
That doesn't address that.
It seems to me that we're focused in on the streets, but that's just a small issue of the whole development.
Say we need to go someplace that's done subdivisions and see how they.
I don't think you need to reinvent the wheel. I think.
No, I'm not saying that either. But there's maple communities that are developed that are dealing with a lot of development. They've gone through the growing pains and they know what standards need
right.
to be.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I know.
I wonder what Nephi's would be. Thinking of a size that's growing, or a city that's growing fairly fast, that's somewhat close to our size.
I was just looking to see if we talked about
That might have helped if we made a couple of phone calls and got some information before we...
Had this.
Really?
Before we had this?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what we've come to a conclusion. We'd like to see certain things, but if they're not putting the utilities in the street, that's a new one on me too, right?
Yeah, that would be...
So this says, this is what says, utility easements, this is in our plat, dedicated plat. Utility easement shall be provided to serve each lot in the subdivision. Easements shall not be less than a width of 14 feet and shall be located at the rear and as necessary side lot lines of all lots in the subdivision. The city council may require utilities to be located underground. So...
So it'd be, when they say at the rear, is that the rear of the property?
Yeah, we're...
So behind the houses?
Yeah. So why do we need a 14-foot easement behind the house?
We don't. We need it in front of the house.
That's the thing, is these are outdated. I think the whole subdivision ordinance needs to be, we can find one. I've got...
Yeah, let's do that. Let's find one. Recent one, and see how they've done it, how they put their utilities in and everything. So we got us a map to go by anyway, something. Because I can tell you right now, I don't know all there is to know about it.
Well, and I don't either, but I just know that there's been a lot of communities that have already gone through it.
I know there's a lot of them that go down. I'll agree with you there. They go through the backside of the lots are built. The subdivision is built with the power and all the utilities are run down the backside and brought into the backside of the property. Like we put our water systems in, all of the new developments, the water hookups are all on the backside of the house. So they come in from the backside.
Well, when they're reading meters and all that, nowadays they've got these...
They got these smart meters.
Smart meters, but in the old days, they...
But if I look at all and what the situation we're in now with the irrigation, we're doing a project to get that out from behind the house.
Right.
Where we can get to it, because people build fences, and over time, it just becomes inaccessible, so...
So we better make sure that whatever we do allows for that in the street.
I think the shut-off valve and everything, the way I understand the engineering for the new irrigation system, what the shut-off valve is going to be out in the street, in the front of the house.
And I'm not saying this has been a waste of time. I think there's been some good...
Oh, yeah. You got to start...
Oh, somewhere. Absolutely.
But yeah, we got to start somewhere.
But I think there's just more that we need to look at in the streets on this.
I guess, I don't know how to clarify this. It still scares me, is the Fifth North deal. The Fifth North, are we going to clarify that as a subdivision so it's required the same way?
Fifth North.
If those developers come through,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If they come through and develop it, are we going to...
I think that we have some... Because the nice thing with...
Authority there to determine what we want. The nice thing with a subdivision is, again, you've got the master plan in front of you. So you know actually how many houses it's going in, where they're going, and you can run all the utilities. If you get like, and I'm just going to use Fifth North because that's what's come so much. So if you got, we got like four property owners along there. If the first two aren't going to do subdivisions, but the road needs to, we're going to require the road to go on through those two property owners to tie everything together to not create a dead end cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. So how do we do that in a road extension, which is really not a subdivision clarification?
But the reality of it is, because in the future, those blank lots will fill.
They will fill in, but it's not being done as a subdivision right now, because as the road's extended, the houses are...
They need to build out as if there is a subdivision going in there.
But the thing of it is, we've got the plan for that change. We don't want to say hindsight's 2020.
No, that's what I say, but so do we make them, as that road extends, do we make them break the lot, actual lot size out so the services ran into there?
Does that make sense? What you're saying.
So basically, you can take, I'm going to use this Fifth North, okay? So Fifth North stops right here at Tibbs' house.
So this road's gonna continue up. Well, Robin Munt owns this piece here, so she doesn't want to build any houses right now. Stansfield doesn't want to build any houses, but this guy up here wants to build a whole bunch of houses.
Mm-hmm.
So as this road goes up,
mm-hmm.
there's no services took in here at the time right now, but we're gonna make the road go through.
Who's gonna pay for the road?
This developers don't have to connect the road, so we don't have to create the dead
ice.
I'm gonna get the dedication from the property owners.
This developer will have to.
So that's what I'm saying. As soon as he gets dedicated and turns it over to the city, then it becomes our standard.
Right. But, so like these two property owners are not ready to develop right now.
Right.
So this road just goes through, a water line goes through our sewer line, goes through a lot of development. It's no big deal, because he's already got a master plan. This lot's here, because we're running service here.
Plus they type, you know, they have to do stream improvement.
But then when we start $40 per foot.
That's why you're running out there, he's out of the road.
Well, is he gonna be in the road up here?
Well, you chose to make the road.
Right now, because it is in the road here now.
Right. And isn't this, what's the width on this road?
50 feet.
I mean, you'll be cutting up the road, but it won't be us. It'll be the developer cutting up the road.
Yeah,
they have to plan the road as if there is a subdivision going in.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you know?
But you can't. You can't do the layout.
Whatever.
Well,
you can't do the layout.
The width.
The width of the road's there.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want.
We don't know what roads might be coming in at different places and how the sewer might be taken off that way or the water.
You don't. You don't have a clue.
Right.
So they're going to be digging up the road.
And where do you start at curb and gutter? At the new subdivision? Curb gutter and sidewalk?
Or where the road starts right now and goes forward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you make that guy pay for all that?
Yeah,
sure.
Right there. The developer.
Why wouldn't you? Well, I think you should.
And those other property owners, they're getting a pretty good deal.
He should have a contract with those other property owners that if they develop, they pay him back.
It would be with the city. So then if you come a year later and try to build a lot here, you'd have to go back to him and make him, or pay him part of what he extended that cost on.
Right.
They need to get in the deal, because 10 years down the road it'd be a lot cheaper to put that in.
Well, you'd have to go back.
More expensive anyway.
You'd have to go back and pay him for what he paid.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It'd be a lot cheaper for them.
Uh-huh.
But it would be 10 years down the road. It cost them more.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of, I don't know. I don't know how you...
Because again, going back to like Steve's subdivision, so if he extends, oils that road going down, do we make you put curb and gutter and sidewalk going down the county road? Or do we start when he turns into his place?
I'd say you start when you go into his place. Yeah. You're going to run into some legal stuff. You got to make him do our road all the way down there. That's not his.
Well,
now, I don't know how you're going
to. So again, the road's paved now, so we're back to an existing road. Then Bruce Larson comes in, and he starts selling lots. Do we require him to put that sidewalk in on his?
Yeah.
And go past Steve's, or, you know, how do we do that to extend the road on down further west past Steve's subdivisions? I guess that's some of the things that I've been throwing around is,
let's go back to gravel.
Well, I think we can revise our ordinance. There can be revisions made here without having to completely start from scratch.
Yeah,
and we can make amendments to it. Yeah. We can add to it.
Well, yeah.
So we can take this document and build on it and revise it.
I think we want to go to another city that's done a recent subdivision, and a nice one, and see what they've done and how they've done it, and try to use that maybe as a map for us.
To go over to Nephi, they got three of them going in right now.
Do they?
Where's that?
Nephi?
There is specs.
I just found it kind of interesting on their specs.
Do they have a good standard?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they're putting one up there on the other side of the golf course, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that the other day.
And then they got one going in out south of town there.
They got some.
They got one going in west.
Going in
yeah.
there too, kind of in the south center part of town.
Yeah.
I thought I seen one going in west down there, headed toward Delma.
They got a lot going on. Russ came over here and looked at our contour substation, how we did it. They're considering doing that in a, like a subdivision area.
They're growing like a weed.
They are.
Right off that freeway at TZ Access.
It's coming here, though.
Yeah, it is.
We got to get ready for it, because it's coming.
Well, I think we need to dig a road coming.
Well, I think we could look at Nephi or Spanish Fork. These towns have already hashed all this out, and they're working on new standards. I think the 99 feet should be maintained on our major streets, but on these resident lots, I think it's probably a little excess.
I think Nephi would really be a good barometer for us, because they're a city like us.
They're a rural
community where it's hit miss. I think that would be a good map for us.
That's who's been helping us out on our specs is Russ.
So we're doing, just finishing up a big water project there. I know the city engineer pretty well. I could probably stop there and get a copy of the standards that they're using.
That would be great.
Go through them.
Then we can sit down and go over that and say, is this what we want? Is this what we want?
Yeah, we don't have to follow them exactly. There might be some things in there that we like and some things in there that we don't, but at least it would give us some ideas.
Going back to putting it on the property owner and the property owner's property,
mm-hmm.
the utility. So what kind of an agreement do you have? Do you have an easement so they can't really do anything permanent?
So yeah, they can't. So that's already up here in that subdivision.
Yeah. All the utility stuff in that Pleasant View subdivision is in the property owner.
Okay, like you say, Pleasant View subdivision, which one's
the George Johansson.
George Johansson.
But there isn't any sidewalk or anything up there for them to dig up or anything either.
Nothing.
Sewer's not, though, is it?
The sewer's not. No, sewer's only one. Everything else is.
Is the water in the...
So water and natural gas?
Gas is all going right in front of the city, right in front of the property lines.
It's going, yeah, right... On the edge of the road in the park.
But then their mom's house, his is...
Then it kind of clears out of the roadway.
Yeah. Everything else is there.
And I'm not even in that subdivision technically.
Right. You and everybody on the west side of the road, right?
Yes.
You and Spencer's and...
Stan Brady.
Well, I mean, you and Spencer's and...
Oh, yeah.
Smokey's old house.
That's all just regular.
Not part of that subdivision.
Right. But anything east of that is...
Except for on the south side of the road.
Yeah, except for Mitchell's and Brady's. And,
yeah.
So I would like to make a motion right here.
Okay, let's make a motion.
We table this right here until Justin gets us Nephi's ordinance or whatever they're doing, their code, how they're doing it over there. And I'd like to open up another can of worms if we can in this meeting.
And I think we ought to review our whole subdivision plan.
Yeah,
the wording is outdated.
Right. I do too.
Where we're going to put the utilities, what it's going to boil down to.
Well, we got to see what, because I know we ran into that problem at the industrial park. You know, the Dominion, they wanted to run both sides of that.
Right.
Down both sides, so we got to see, check with Dominion and see what their specs is now in subdivisions too, because that's, I think that's going to have to go in that easement, because
I think
they require main lines on each side now, so
they'll
have to go through the road, because they don't want the liability of patching roads, you know.
Yeah, they'll have all that. Nephi will have all that.
They will.
Yeah, they'll have all
that. And that's the one thing we can double check even again with them.
I'm out of heart. Did you find their standards online, Shane?
I just found part of them. The power department. Standards.
So table until we get more.
Yeah,
they charge.
Until we get more information.
For not in the subdivision, for residential service, they charge a $525 engineering fee plus a $40 per lineal foot of work that needs to be done.
Yeah, I see that in here that we had some fees for stuff.
Um,
Then they have, like so much pitch south and west driveway and all this.
We can't do anything with them till we get water.
Glenfield's getting his survey tomorrow.
Yeah.
Till we get water, they just have to wait.
So, do we need to make a copy of that for everybody so that we can look at it? Do you want a copy of the?
I could even scan it and email it if that would make it easier.
Or, you know, or go online to find it or something that way so everybody's.
Oh, like ours?
Ours, yeah.
We just need to know, yeah, we just need to know where it's at. I mean, we can make copies of it.
Send me an email.
It's just, yeah, on the website.
It's on the, so if you go on the city website, it's mountpleasantcity.com. Very top, there's the government tab. When you click on it, city code is one of your choices.
And then most of the stuff we're looking at is 11, section 11.
Subdivision, so that everybody can even have time to go through it.
Review.
Review it, familiarize yourself a little bit more with it, and then we get Nephi's or somebody else's.
And I'm wondering if we shouldn't also look at another city such as Ephraim.
I wonder about Santaquin, because Santaquin's seen a lot of growth too.
And so we have more than one city to compare with.
They work with Mapleton, they're doing a ton of development up there. I could probably get 3 or 4.
Okay. Santaquin's doing a lot.
Santaquin, we don't want to get too bogged down, but.
Yeah.
If we have a couple.
I'll bet you find out they're all pretty much the same.
Well, probably pretty close.
Yeah, and we might find that that's the case.
The other thing is typically they'll have some review done. If a developer brings a set of drawings in, they'll have a review by our public works, and then they also typically have an engineering review. So we probably need to figure out how, if we decide to do that, how those costs are going to be covered. The city wouldn't pay for those. The developer would have to pay for them. And if it's just, we're working with Spring City now, trying to figure that out for them. And they just wanted us to work directly with the developer and say, okay, you got to do, and then whatever that fee is, then. But it kind of creates a weird, awkward position because it almost creates a conflict of interest because the developer wants us to do do it their way, but we still have to comply with how the city wants to do it. So now we're trying to say, well, no, we represent the city. We'll bill you through the city of what that review cost is, and then you just pay the city, and then they pay whoever is doing the review for them. So there's some things like that that also have to be considered. Some administrative fees and things like that too. And I'm sure that Nephi and some of those will address.
They might be big enough to have their own engineer on board.
Yeah, they do, but they'd still have to have the same ordinances and everything.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So okay. So we can do some comparisons.
Yep. So who made the motion to table it?
I think this will take some time to get through this.
You want a second?
I'll second that motion, but.
About or worse. Pass this back to you.
Well, we're going to
have across the street.
Stuff to compare with.
That's a bit, isn't it?
Zach, can we discuss something else in this meeting without? We got everybody. We got Sam still online.
Are you still there, Sam?
Yep, I'm here.
He's still awake, is the question. Do we need to vote on that with being that we've got, okay, all right.
Okay, what I wanted to bring up is, I'm not sure what my authorities are, or my definition of my area, what authorities I have within it. Am I over recreation? And I know talking to Justin, he kind of had some of the same. What authorities do we have? Like,
I want a printout that the mayor gave me that designated our assignments.
But what authority do you have with that assignment?
Okay.
As far as what part?
Well, like, okay, so if I was over streets in public works.
Okay.
And there wasn't, things weren't being done the way that we get citizens' complaints. Now, I know you're over the hiring, firing, right? Are you the total director of the public works and the power department?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Okay, then what's our role? I guess
so. If you get those complaints, you should bring them to me.
Okay.
if it's especially, if it's a general broad deal, or if it's employee specific, should I say it that way? So if you get a complaint, how to say this, I don't think it's bad if you got a complaint that we go directly to the department. But if it's starting to single out an individual employee or something, then they have to come through me.
And that is in your, you've got one of those little books from the leagues of cities and towns.
Yeah.
It does tell you what, in there, what your responsibilities are.
See, I'm just, I'm wondering because I think you've got a heavy load.
Well, it tells you what responsibilities are, but it also tells you that the mayor can designate responsibilities.
But I believe it says in there that you're, even if you're designated to be over a thing, that the council cannot, you're not to direct or tell them what they're supposed to do. From what I was reading the other day, that should come from the mayor, not from a council member.
Depends on if the mayor wants to delegate that or not. I mean, it depends on how it's set up, how it's structured.
I'll try and pull up the thing I read, because what I read made it pretty clear that even if the mayor asked you to be over it, he was still the one that should do it.
Oh, so I guess that brings up a good point. What does that mean then? If you're over something, what does that mean? How do you define that?
I guess
we can go back and get it in that book and actually read it and have it, so we're talking right from the book of the law.
I agree.
I don't just want to come and just be a body of a chair. I feel like the council needs to, I don't know. The mayor's got a heavy load.
Yeah. I think if you see problems, I think you're the one that probably should be watching over that area. And if you see problems regarding personnel or things like that, probably needs to come to the mayor.
I would agree.
But as far as people could contact you with questions, so they don't have to go through City Hall, I think they could call you direct.
Okay, now you've got a city employee that comes up to you, and he doesn't want to come to the mayor with the problem.
Well, then it's up to you to take it to the mayor.
Yep.
Yeah.
I still have to follow the chain of command. If they don't feel comfortable talking to the mayor, they can go to you and ask you to come with them to talk to the mayor. Yeah. But it still has to follow their
command. Or else be their voice.
Okay, it's vague what my responsibilities are to me. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but it's kind of vague to me what my responsibilities are as a councilman. And I'm over rec, and so I got the Comptoy. Is that under me? Recreation?
I think we split that out different on the... I got to go back and pull that list. And I found it the other day, and we printed it up.
For example, there's three of us assigned to the new irrigation improvement project.
Yeah, I'm on that too.
Right. So and
I think there's only two, because we can't have three of you together, because that's a quorum and in a meeting. So I think it's only two.
So there might be, two of us might have the same assignment.
Right. Because part of that is you can't have three of them together in the same meeting unless it's an official meeting this way, because if not, that way you're a quorum, so you can make a decision.
Right. It's majority.
Right. So I think the most we can do is just two over each item like that there. And I think that's the way to say it.
I just want to get some definition so that me is, I don't want to step on no toes. I don't want to go up there to the city sheds or something and step on somebody's toes up there, whether it be the power department or public works.
You guys are always welcome up there.
That's what I was going to say. You're always welcome to go up there and voice your concerns.
I've been hesitant to do those things.
If there's an issue that, yeah.
Like I'm snooping around or trying to find some dirt or something like that.
And maybe there's some... We got a book from the Utah League.
Yeah, we need to go back and see what he's talking about. We need to go back and look at that and read those.
And you might be like,
I must do it because elections are coming up. And I put together an orientation packet that has that in it. And I have it right here. I can send you a copy of the orientation packet, or I can just send you that little bit, but it does tell you what your responsibilities as the council member is.
Okay, I got the book. I'll read it.
Okay.
Do you have the base there?
But I still need to know what area.
Because I copied it in the presentation packet. But I can copy and paste it in an email and send it to you if you want me to.
Yeah, I want to know my area, exactly what.
You want to know what the mayor's.
See, when I come to report, I want to be able to go and how, you know, I don't know how to word it. Like, when I go to him and I say, have you got anything? I go up to Brittany and I say, have you got anything we need to take to council? Well, Kevin knows more about what's going up in that pool than I do. And whatnot, you know.
Well, all I know is some of the mechanical.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy on the sound. You know, just.
But I just kind of feel like all I do is come to meetings and I don't have any really say about what goes on a lot of times, a lot of situations.
So the way I understand it, our form of government is a 6-member council, 1 acting as mayor, which is the executive branch of our government, where we set policy, the mayor enforces or carries the policy out. Sometimes in a small community like this, those lines, especially when you've got some, you know, because it's pretty common for a small government like ours to designate different responsibilities out to the council members. And there, you know, somebody calls up somebody and says, oh, I need to talk to somebody about a certain issue, then they usually direct them to one of the council members on that issue. And if it's something that you does not need to be escalated to the mayor, then I think you have the discretion and judgment to determine that. And if you can't take care of it at that level, I think that's certainly appropriate. But I think you have to be a good judgment of what you think should be escalated to a point where you need to come before the mayor or the governing body. That's the way I would, I guess, look at that.
Well, the book specifically says that too. You know, the unfortunate thing about our city is we don't have a city manager who does a lot of the administrative type work, you know, 40 hours a week or 50 hours a week or whatever. And so in those instances, a lot of times the responsibilities are designated. And it states that right in there. In rural communities, a lot of times those responsibilities can be delegated. And then that puts responsibility, say you were designated. For example, you have a mayor that maybe is not familiar with roads or irrigation or whatever, but there's a council member that's an engineer or something. They can specifically assign him to be responsible for that project. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
But I don't think that designation has took place in our city. But it can take place, but it hasn't taken place.
Yeah.
I think it's all about communication. Because certainly you don't want to be making a unilateral decision that could come back to have, you know, some bad consequences or unintended consequences. And I think all of us, at least the way I can see it, is all of us are pretty, I think we can have a pretty good judgment of what that level would be of where, well, this probably should be address, you know, taken to the council or the mayor or something. I don't think that that's
a problem.
A problem.
Yeah.
I mean, if it gets to be a problem, I think that you would see a pattern there, and then that's where, well, there needs to be some course correction. If there's a council member or somebody that's going out and making decisions unilaterally that are not in the best interest of the community, then I think that's when somebody would have to address that and say, look, this is an issue. I mean, we're not perfect, and we have to just make the best decision, right? Make the best decision we can. I just want
something to where we all work together. We're no one person, you know. I guess I want to be better informed about what's going on and things.
And better involved, I'm more involved, probably.
Yeah, more involved, better informed. Just about what's going on. Get just updated on some of this stuff. Because I get hit with questions and I go, I don't know.
Yeah.
I get hit questions too, I go, I don't know.
I worry about getting into a situation that we've already went through.
What's that?
I worry about getting into a situation we already went through.
Yeah.
In the city here, where, you know, well, the mayor took too much upon himself. He just took too much upon himself.
A lot of, you know, I went through it. A lot of it was, you may have been delegated to do something, or you go out and make a decision, and then a month or two later, you find that somebody circumvented that decision. And you were given a responsibility to go out. I could give you an example on the railroad depot out there. I went out there with the recreation people because they had the park. The park was involved in it, and the ball fields. And so Stephanie was there, and two council members was there. We decided, well, the train cars needed to stop here. And it was 2 months later, they were laying track on down the park. I looked at the developer and I said, whoa, where are you going? You know, this isn't right. Well, the mayor said, told them that they could go clear to the pine tree, which was on the very far end, southwest end. Now that was a perfect example of, you know, you receive an assignment.
The mayor had no right to do that without coming before the city council.
No, not, yeah, exactly.
No, he doesn't have that power.
Well, you take an out-of-control mayor, and Mike's always been approachable.
Yeah.
Me, yeah, I think I've always been approachable.
So you talk about a list of things, like selling the power department. I mean, that was, he went out unilaterally and then started those negotiations without the council even being involved in that.
Yeah.
Those are things that,
they create problems.
I just think we're doing a great job. I think Mike's doing a great job. And I just want to make sure that there's transparency, and I want to know what my role is.
I think it's good. What I like about the council situation is people see things differently, just like this street thing. We all see them a little bit different, and it's good that we come together. And once we put everything out on the table, we can go away agreeing, so we all support each other with the decision that's made.
Right.
And that's what I think we've got to have, is we've got to be, we've got to be united on these major decisions, so when people approach you, and they will. People approach me and ask me about road widths, and then I get the heat because I told them 99 feet or whatever. It's in the book. You know? But I think once we establish these, we need to say, all agree on it and say, this is what we're, you know. And maybe in the end we all won't agree, but the majority will agree. And when that happens, it's up to us to support that.
Yeah, well, once the majority agrees, then it's over.
The majority rules, and then whoever is the maybe there's a couple of odd men out, and they, I think that at that point you support the decision and you roll with it. That's why we have the government set up the way we
do. And we've got to have the feeling here, too, that you're willing to bring up your thoughts.
Right.
And not get shot down and criticized and anything else. It's like, right or wrong, you still need to give your thoughts and your opinions of everything, you know?
Well, that's what I've always meant. If I've got something right now, I'm gonna
right.
Let you know.
Yeah, because that's the way it should be, and that's the whole thing.
Well, what do you guys kind of expect from us? And I know there for a while we was giving you like weekly reports of kind of what was going on. Because I feel like we kind of leave you in the dark, too. Some projects and everything's going on. And that's probably my bad. But,
you know, it's kind of tough because, like you said, we don't have a city manager that should be.
But I'm more than willing to give you any time.
But well, we know that.
But sometimes.
See, Mike, he's got a full-time job. Yeah.
Sometimes I want you out in the field more than necessarily doing a bunch of reports, too.
Well, that's all I pretty much do to him.
I know it. I know.
Well, and when you come with requisitions, you explain what's this for, why we need to do it, and we have a vote whether or not to approve that. So And at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to, is we have a vote.
You guys have the vote, I don't.
Yes or no, am I for or against this?
Yes.
Well, we finally did get our impact fees, kind of, somewhat.
I wish Coker would have left, because that's where a lot of it's coming to be now. Where's the water? How come we haven't got any water? I want to talk.
I'm trying to explain it to people about the break.
So we need to update you guys, and I don't know how to update you. I don't know if you know how, or how it's going to be the best way. So let me tell you the water situation.
My wife reads Facebook, that's how I hear it.
The water situation, let's tell you the water situation. So we have up where Tanner's live. They hired a rock miner come in there, had it called in blue stakes for landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
Which means they're going at the most 2 foot deep.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For landscaping blue stake?
Yeah.
Part of the trouble is Pleasant Creek Irrigation Company is not on blue stakes. Mm-hmm. This guy is not landscaping, he's mining rocks. So he starts digging for rocks. And then the first hour hits the irrigation line, the 27. How deep?
8 feet deep.
Yeah. So he's 8 feet deep, hits the 27 inch water line.
Main line.
The main line. Fills the sucker full of rocks. They shut it off. They got rocks. We don't know how far down we got rocks down that line. They finally decide to flush it through the hydro. Again, this is the tough part because we're at the irrigation company mercy because they own the line. We really don't. We just pay a dividend to them every year to keep that line going. Anyway, so they come up with a plan to flush it through the hydro. We take all the guts out of the pressure release valve down there. They flush it out down the line, through the hydro back into the creek. They do get a lot of rocks. Then Coulter comes in and runs the camera back up to the valves that do the hydro. They find more rocks sitting there. They vacuum truck them out. They fix the water line, energize it. Where they fixed it, the gasket leaks on the repair. So now they dig it up again. As they're digging it up again, they drop a rock on the water line and damage another section of pipe.
Jeez.
And they had to go to Winnemucca last time to find a 20-foot piece of pipe. So now, how do we get this communication out?
When that thing happens, so it's private, might have Jeannie shoot an email with it. Here's some information you might need to know.
Yeah, how do you guys want that to come to you quicker, I guess, as part of
the... I think I'd like an email or a text message.
Well,
email worries me because I don't know that I'll let you read it. Because I only get a response from like one or two.
I like email because it's private. When we put stuff on Facebook,
see, there's a lot of stuff
we really have to be careful
with what we put on Facebook.
So part of Jeannie's trouble's been in the past because there's only one or two that will usually respond. So she says, are you guys getting the information? Is she wasting her time? So again, that's probably something on the communication part that I need to do better to send out to you guys. I'm on day-to-day stuff.
So that we knew these things.
If you receive an email from me, will you just say what? Just so I know you got it?
And I have been getting
my emails. I think that's a good plan. Yeah. I just read it, but not
worry. Can you request on the email to
send me a read?
You can still deny it, though, on the receiver side. So it'd be just...
Yeah.
I guess if we can communicate as common courtesy that we let Jeannie know back, it's... So
it's so easy right there at the bottom just to hit thank you and back it goes so you know that we've read it.
Yeah.
But at least we got that information, you know.
Right. So
that's what brought this up about what part did you have. I was going to go up to the state, to the public works, to Coulter and say, hey, what's going on with the water, you know?
You could do that.
I think you could do that.
You're welcome to call City Hall. We'd be happy to tell you.
Well, again, you're fine to go ask Coulter, you know, people's complaining to me there's no water, let him explain it to you, type deal.
Well, I don't see it, and on the other side of that, they're doing a good enough job. I don't want them thinking I'm spying on them or stuff too, you know, and so I'm going, okay.
So again, we got to be better at sending that out.
We just expect that from, you guys are the council, you guys are the one that make the policies, decisions and all that
stuff. Well, I wish he wouldn't have left, because that's what I'd like to, as well as you sitting here, I wish he was sitting here, so he knows that.
Pick up his daughter.
How we feel, you know, how I feel, and it's not just me, I've talked to a couple of others that feel somewhat the same way, just what is my job, what is
Okay, let's go back through the book and get that clarified a little better.
Sometimes the book don't tell it all.
Right.
You know, that's the whole thing there. And this, I just don't want anything to get out into this paper or out into the public that would mess up what we got going on, because we're pretty transparent amongst the bunch of us.
We really are.
And they can construe some stuff.
So yeah, that's partly been my fault, because I didn't relay it out to you guys, because I've been informed quite often on it.
Well, you've got a lot on your plate.
So yeah, well, I need to
do a full-time job and run the city.
I need to be better at having the city office help us send that stuff out to you guys.
Oh, we will.
Yeah. And then, you know, something I'd like to tell you, you need to do better letting us help you.
Yeah, don't be afraid to make assignments.
Yeah, don't be afraid to.
Do you want to help me
out? Say, Bo, I need you to go do this.
You want to come help on city cleanup Saturday?
Yeah, I'll be there. No, I won't. I'm going on the club.
Can you help next Saturday?
Anything Saturday? Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Because that's where, like Coulter, I've talked to Coulter again, and his guys are throwing fits because we're trying not to avoid, or we're trying to avoid paying them overtime. And they want to be paid overtime on Saturday, which, all again, you can't blame them on one hand and different things.
There's a certain amount of time that's budgeted for overtime each year.
Yeah, but they're using it up pretty quick.
It's a hard one.
It's a hard one. So again, you're willing to volunteer a little bit to come and help there. The next two Saturdays, I know that's a big thing, because I'm going to try and be there to help.
Well, that's why I showed up there to Easter.
Yeah.
I thought, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here or not, but I'll wander in and see what's going on.
Oh, boy, you're always welcome.
I mean, there's the big thing Friday again with that PTA deal, you know, that's coming up.
Yeah. Well, like I say, you know, I just, if you get to a point where you need some help, then that's where, you know.
And I try to do that. If I know I can't get there, I try to call whoever is the city councilman to make sure that we got somebody representing us.
Okay, I just, things. Like I say, I just want to bring it up because of something that's been stewing. What is my job? Is it just to go there twice a month?
What is my job?
And like Jeannie said, I guess if I read the book, I never have been very much.
You know what? I've read it several times, and even this time reading it again, it was like, oh, I didn't notice that last time.
Yeah,
you're the new
there's
UN
a lot in there.
What's that?
You're the new UN for it.
You are so ashamed. Thanks, Jeff.
The IPA.
What was that curtail? You're going to have to fill it in too. No, I should have said anything, Justin. We'll get
you open yourself wide. You're going to be the go-to guy.
Well, I don't want to be a go-to guy, and I don't expect anything special for what I do. But I just want to know what my role is. How far I can go.
It is pretty defined in the book.